The Haynesboro and public employees reached an agreement on a new 3-year contract, and the state has yet to release any more details about shuttle ferries for the Upper Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly met Tuesday. There was only one ordinance up for adoption, an ordinance that makes parking violations a civil fine through the borough. A similar ordinance has been adopted by several towns across the state since a strange twist was discovered in state law. Because of the mix-up, the Alaska State Court system no longer acts as an appeal body for things like parking citations. So the only way to make citations left on windshields or mailed to violators stick is to make them civil penalties through the borough. The ordinance establishes a citation process and appeal process where violators work with the borough. The Assembly spent time discussing how that appeals process will work, whether the hearing officer for such an appeal should be the borough manager or someone of his choosing. The Government Affairs and Services Committee had taken up the ordinance in a meeting, and Chair Steve Vick offered an amendment that would allow the manager to choose another borough employee to deal with appeals. Manager Mark Ernest said he would only designate another borough officer, meaning the clerk, financial officer, or public facilities director, to deal with appeals, although that wasn't specified in the ordinance. Through a question from Assemblyman Norm Smith, it was noted that the police department doesn't yet have the forms needed to issue citations under the new ordinance, although state law is still in effect. Mayor Stephanie Scott discussed the recommended changes to the Heliski map from recent meetings of the Heliski Map Committee. The recommendations were not presented at Tuesday's meeting. The mayor said they will come up for discussion at the July 23rd Assembly meeting. But she said the proposed changes should be on the borough website before then, hopefully by Wednesday or Thursday of this week. Manager Mark Ernest also handed out his report on the 2013 Heliski season. He said he will be suggesting that spot checks on violations among companies increase during the next season. Ernest also said he is moving ahead with advertising and recruiting for the open chief of police position. He noted Officer Josh Knorr is leaving the department, which will mean the department will be down 2 officers. At a previous assembly meeting, the group approved supporting additional resources for the department during the short staffing. Ernest said he will work with interim police chief Simon Ford to determine what additional resources were needed, like the possibility of hiring a seasonal officer. The manager also announced that a 3-year collective bargaining agreement has been struck between the borough and union employees. Ernest said the public employees had also voted to approve the agreement. The assembly still has to approve it at its next meeting. The agreement will make changes to how leave time works for employees and changes to benefits and wages. Leave time will now fall under one category of personal leave for borough employees instead of being divided into vacation, sick, and personal time. Under the new agreement, employees will accrue less leave than before, but leave hours will be more flexible to use, according to the borough. Employer contributions to health insurance will also increase by about $200 per month for a total of $1,300 a month. Although the contract allows for the benefits section to be renegotiated in 2014 and 15, since the Federal Affordable Care Act might change how the borough needs to provide insurance. Changes to wages also include a 50-cent annual step increase for employees and an increase to the pay for different shifts during the day, evening, and overnight. All in all, the negotiated changes to the bargaining agreement will cost the borough just over $150,000. The administration suggests where those funds should come from in the 2014 budget, the bulk of the cost coming from the Area-Wide General Fund and Townsite Service Area Fund. The contract also makes a slight change to the grievance procedures for employees. That issue came up earlier this year when the Assembly discussed how complaints from employees about Police Chief Gary Lowe were handled by the borough administration. The Assembly also introduced an ordinance to bond more than $5 million for capital improvements to the school facilities. If passed by the Assembly, that general obligation bond question will go before voters in October. And the Assembly discussed redistricting. The item was on Tuesday's agenda since the State Redistricting Board is in the midst of deciding how to redraw legislative districts across the state. Southeast Alaska has presented some challenges for the board in redrawing the lines. There were 17 map proposals in front of the board to consider, and it took public testimony less than 2 weeks ago on the proposals. Mayor Scott had thought the Assembly would like a chance to weigh in on its preference for what other communities Haynes would like to be grouped with.
I originally thought that you'd want to form a little committee and you'd want to go through the 17 maps and
we've been spared.
And the assembly was spared because less than a week after public testimony wrapped up, the board on Sunday released one map, the map that will be the map or close to it, that will be adopted on Sunday, July 14th. The map as it stands puts Haines, Skagway, Cleckwan, Excursion Inlet, and Gustavus in the same district as downtown Juneau and Douglas Island. The assembly before expressed preference for being grouped with more smaller communities in the Mendenhall Valley or North Juneau. Mayor Scott said she wasn't sure the Upper Lynn Canal was very socially, economically aligned with downtown Juneau, but the mayor said she had this conversation with a member of the redistricting board.
Peggy McConaughey, who is the vice chair of the redistricting board, has been calling me. I've been calling her. We've been talking to each other. And she said simply, you know, all of Southeast Alaska is socioeconomically integrated, and it's really hard to make an argument that you are more or less integrated with one community or another. So it's a meaningless standard when you're talking about Southeast Alaska.
The mayor said she did consult with a borough attorney who said if the assembly felt strongly opposed to the proposed map, they could take up the issue in court, but that would be an expensive option and likely would not yield the results it wanted. Remember the shuttle ferry issue? That's the State Department of Transportation's Alaska Class Ferry project that was revamped to now be two shuttle ferry type day boats for the Upper Lynn Canal. A detailed design report on what those shuttle ferries and their features will look like was expected to have been released in June, but is now scheduled for release in mid to late July. At the same time, the department's wind and wave study in regards to the shuttle ferry project has yet to be released as well. The DOT said Wednesday that study should be released about the same time as the design study. So, while we await that information about ferry service in the northern southeast, here's a little news about ferry service in southern southeast, where the financial picture is improving for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which connects Prince of Wales Island and Ketchikan. But the southern southeast system still needs more money to maintain a full schedule all year. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Prince of Wales Island counts on the daily sailings of the Stikine, run by the Inter-Island Ferry Authority.
It gives us daily, year-round access for business and travel and recreation to the rest of the world.
That's Sharon Brosamley, who works with the island's Chamber of Commerce. One example, she says, is some people she knows who run a fish processing operation.
It's because of daily ferry service that they were able to continue to operate and stay in business because they could get their product over to Ketchikan for shipping.
The Inter-Island Ferry Authority is separate from the Alaska Marine Highway System, but it's still gotten funding from the legislature. That wasn't the case this year, so the authority was left scrambling to fill a $750,000 gap in its $4 million annual budget. General Manager Dennis Watson says that's changed.
We have it pared down. If all goes well, it may look more like a $500,000 or a little bit less.
He says the authority got $100,000 more than expected from a federal grant.
There is also another federal transit program. It's a discretionary ferry boat money program that looks like it might bear some fruit, too. We're just not too sure yet.
The authority is also able to carry over funds from the previous budget year, which ended June 30th. That's because fuel cost less than expected.
That'll bring us in a couple more bucks as well, but we still have a ways to go to get where we need to be right now.
Watson says the authority is talking to the governor's office about some help. But in the meantime, he has to consider what to do about a shortfall. About three-quarters of the authority's budget is covered by passenger and vehicle fares, so cutting service also means losing revenue. Watson says a lot depends on outside factors, such as the fishing industry.
If we wind up with a huge purse seine fleet out here this year, or troll fleet, because there are just lots of cohos, that all transfers into to people getting on the ferry and going back and forth in between here and Ketchikan, or to go over there to catch a plane to go somewhere else, you know, when they get a couple of minutes off.
Watson says one of the authority's largest customers is the E.C. Phillips Fish Processing Plant, which trucks salmon from Prince of Wales to Ketchikan. There's also tourists, hunters, and sports fishermen, but he says so far, summer passenger loads have been nothing special.
Although this last few days it's been kind of like a rocket went off. I hope that continues. Pool boat goes a long ways towards helping us out in the in-play.
Prince of Wales and nearby communities formed the authority in 1997. It started sailing in 2002, replacing an increasing service previously provided by the state ferries. The IFA later added a second route, linking Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and Petersburg, but it didn't attract enough customers to continue. A separate nonprofit group, called the North End Ferry Authority, plans to take over that route, plus one from Kaufman Cove to Ketchikan, starting next year. This is Ed Schoenfeld.
For KHNS News, I'm Marga Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.